Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to episode 600 of the Talking Metal Podcast. This is John Astronomy.
And this is Mark Striegel, about to crack open my beer here. Hold on. Let me pick it up. It's a big one. You see it, John?
I see it. It's AC/DC beer. I'm sorry, I spilled the surprise.
The German Australian hard rock beer, Rocker Bust, the official beer of AC/DC. And I'm going to take a sip of this right now.
Okay, that's good. It looks cool. The can looks
it's
great.
It's good. I love Iron Maiden, and I'm sorry, Iron Maiden, but the AC/DC beer.
Better.
It tastes a little better, and I actually had a conversation with, I get my Trooper beer, I have some in the fridge right now, and my AC/DC beer at the same liquor store in Florham Park, New Jersey, and I must say, I had a conversation with a non-rock guy who works at the liquor store who samples all the fine beers they have in the store there, and he agreed with me that the AC/DC has just a really nice, true German taste to it. The Maiden beer is definitely good. It's not quite as sharp. I love how much care and love that Bruce Dickinson and the Iron Maiden guys have put into it, with hand picking the brewery and working with the brewery. But unfortunately, I like the taste of the AC/DC Rocker Bust beer a little bit better than the Trooper. And that's not to say I don't like the Trooper beer, because I do. But I like this this AC/DC Rocker Bust beer a little bit better. We are on episode 600. It's been a long road here, close to 11 years. I guess 10 and a half years
we've been doing this. That's totally insane.
Yeah, and I'm glad to have you on
this
very
special episode
600.
Well, I'm happy to be back here. Yeah, and I am thankful to you. I want to officially thank you, Mark, for keeping Talking Metal going, even when I couldn't be here on every episode because of touring and other stuff going on.
Yeah.
But thank you for keeping Talking Metal alive. And as you know, I want to be on as many episodes as possible. And hopefully it'll get to a point where I'm back on every episode with you, which would be great.
Yeah, that would be great. And, you know, what I want to do in this episode is, because I'm having all sorts of thoughts just pop into my head, just riff here, on with John. And, you know, back on episode 500, we had Bud Friendly. We went down to a bar in the East Village.
I remember that.
We had five guests for every 100 episodes, including...
Yeah, 500.
Yeah, Phil Anselmo, Michael Sweet. There was five guests on that episode. It was a great episode. But having said that, we're keeping it real. It's just John and I. This isn't going to be a big two-hour episode. We're going to play some tunes. We're going to talk. And, you, of course, started this with me. And you know, we are the core Talking Metal family, the only true Talking Metal dudes, in my opinion,
right.
The guys who started this together, you set up all the web work where we're still using that 2005 era RSS feed, which has been working fine lately. I shouldn't have said that. It'll probably break down tomorrow, but
yeah, there's some other thing I got to tell you. And I got some weird email that we got to do something with the website, but you know, how every once in a while you get one that says, if you don't change something, something's going to happen. So remind me.
Hey, yeah, this beer is good. Yeah,
yeah, really.
Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of beer, I just want to tell you that I got this cool thing, and it's called the Beer Tender, and it's made by Krups. You know that company, KRUPS?
No,
they make like coffee makers and stuff.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
What, do you brew your own beer or something?
Well, no. Check this out. Search if you can get to Google right now, because I want to get your reaction.
Okay.
Search Krups, KRUPS. Beer Tender.
K-R-U-P-S. Okay.
Beer Tender. Like B-E-E-R-T-E-N-D-E-R. Not to be confused with
it
Tinder.
It comes right up, yeah. Let's check this thing out. Yeah. Wow. Can I say how much it is?
Yeah, yeah. How much is it?
$300?
Oh, I didn't pay that much for it. But
oh, okay.
let me search that real quick.
Krups B100 Beer Tender?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Heineken Draft keg technology? Yeah. $299 on Amazon.
Yeah, I got mine on a better deal. But the thing is that right now there's only three official beers, but I think that maybe some other brands are starting to make these. See, I see a little spot in one on here now that maybe they are making it. Officially, there's only Heineken Light, and... Newcastle Brown Ale. That's what I have right now in mind, the Newcastle. But I see there's a spot in, and I think some other companies are starting to, you know, make like ones that will work with this. But you buy these little kegs, you stick it in, and then you got your own like tap beer.
That's awesome. And listen, I'm reading, this is the first time we've ever spoken about this. I'm reading the description right now. Maintains beer at the ideal temperature of 37.4 degrees Fahrenheit. This, ask my wife, is my obsession, to have the beer at the perfect temperature. And if we go out to eat or out to a bar, I always start bitching if I'm like, it's too warm. You know, generally it's never too cold unless it has ice in it, but you want to get it right next to freezing, you know, right, probably to 37.4 degrees. I'm sure they've scientifically proven that that's the ideal temperature. So this is very appealing. Let me ask you, how long does the keg last?
You know,
before it goes skunky.
Yeah, yeah. See, here's my problem. I don't drink enough of it to know how to answer that properly. So my keg could last a few weeks. It's supposed to last it's supposed to be about 2 to 3 weeks before it goes bad. But if you drink, like, say you're having a party or something, it'll last like a day. It's just like a little mini keg. But
wow, that's awesome.
I mean, these things are, it's about twice the size as like one of those coffee makers that you put the little cups in.
Right.
But it's a cool thing. It's great. Here's my thing, though. I think I want a couple of them so I can have a different choice of beer.
Yeah.
You know, like instead of just one.
Right.
That's my latest.
So what are you drinking tonight? You're drinking the beer?
No. Well, I probably will have a Newcastle Brown Ale, but right now I'm drinking some kind of unknown wine.
Yeah.
That Lynn gave me.
Well, listen, if you like the Newcastle,
no idea what it is.
If you like that Newcastle taste, you should get the Trooper, the Maiden beer.
The Maiden.
And some beer connoisseurs may beg to differ, but to me, it does have a slightly similar taste to that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. But I want to try the Rocker Bus beer. And I love it that you are very particular about the temperature of beer.
Yeah. No, it's important. It definitely is. Especially draft beer, you want to get that perfect temperature to drink beer at. And speaking of beer, one thing I love to do is go out and drink a bunch of beer and watch my friend Don Jameson, who I've really gotten to know well over the course of the last year. You and I have known him for a long time, but
from work.
Yeah, but I've gotten to know him a lot better since I worked with him, and even since then we've hung out quite a bit, and he's just a great guy. And I love going out and seeing him when he hosts a night of bands at 10th Street Live or Dingbats, or he does a night of comedy, and my wife and I will go always try to support him when he's in our area out here in Essex County, New Jersey. And he's just a really decent guy who loves hard rock and is extremely funny, loves metal, and he's got just a great new book out, and I told him that I would mention it to you listeners. It's called You Might Be a Metalhead. And, you know, it's like you might be a redneck.
Yeah,
it's kind of a take on that. And let me tell you, it's a really funny read. And it's not, you know, it's just page after each page is like a different joke. It's really good stuff. you might be a metalhead if the only rap song you like is Fight for Your Right to Party by the Beastie Boys. Like, that's an example.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. It's like real clever stuff.
I like that. Don has always been great. I remember Don from back in the Concourse Library days.
Yeah. Now, I've had this conversation with you. Now, when John says, for the listeners, the Concourse Library days, we're going way back to the early 90s. At least for me, I started in the MTV Networks Concourse Library in 91. I think John started a year or two after that. And this is where I got my career started in the TV business, where I still am today. And, you know, I brought my friend John. We had known each other from Berkeley from years before that. But I got you a job there.
Thank you.
You got yourself a job. I recommended you for it.
You helped me.
Yeah.
And, without Mark, I would not have had that job there. So it was Mark was key in that.
And it was just a great place to work. And, you know, I've had this conversation with numerous people who worked back in MTV, at MTV back in the 90s. What did Don do there?
Yeah.
He was like a segment producer. Was he like a... I thought he was some kind of a producer, but...
It could have been a segment producer.
Yeah,
but
I think when he started, he was lower on the totem pole. Than
oh, okay.
Like he had a job, I think, similar to ours. Like, yeah, no, it was like, yeah, like runner or something like that. Yeah, like he had a job similar to ours, like librarian. But then he moved up, and I think he eventually got to be a segment producer, and then moved into
That's
comedy.
Cool.
But.
Yeah. No, here's the funny thing. Back in the Concourse Library, and when you first told me about the Concourse Library, I thought the word concourse meant, I didn't even know what a concourse meant. And then here it only meant concourse because that was the floor it was
right.
on.
Right. It was on the concourse floor of the MTV Viacom building. And it housed videotapes for three networks, MTV, VH1, and Nickelodeon at the time. And that was all there was to MTV networks back in those days. And it was a great place to work back in the 90s. And I moved up from there, got to work at MTV News for a while as a PA and then an AP, and then produced for VH1 for a number of years. And that's what I'm still doing. I'm still producing, not necessarily for those stations, although I did in recent times do a stint on the final season of That Metal Show, the final season on VH1 Classic, at least. And so VH1 has always been, and MTV Networks in general, has been a big part of my life, as it has been for you, John. You're at Nickelodeon still, right?
Correct. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to throw out some names real quick. You don't have to really comment, just maybe a one word or, you know, a little laugh or something. Kibra.
Kibra was a... woman John and I worked with, and there was a guy named Danny LaVecchia who I'm
Danny
on Facebook, who had a metal band called Zahn. And I was talking with a friend, Gary Carlin, who used to work in the Concourse Library, the MTV Networks Library, with us about Danny's band recently, and I found some of their music on YouTube. It's Zhan Zahn. They're not bad sounding.
No, they're great. I took the trade in with Danny about 3 months ago. Ran into him at Exchange Place, and we took the train into the city together, and I keep in touch with Jeff Latko.
Yeah.
And remember Cherie, and we had
Jeff Latko produced the nonfiction video with his college class, Dan Lorenzo's Nonfiction. Yeah. Alan Tecchio were in that band, Nonfiction. There was back to Danny LaVecchia, who was the drummer who John and I worked with in the MTV Networks Library. He had this band Zahn, Zhan. I dare you to look them up on YouTube. They had a song. They had one song called Do the Nasty, which there is not on YouTube because I googled it the other day. They had another song called Deaf, Dumb, and Blonde, which is up on YouTube. So do yourself a favor, listen to some classic early 90s, I guess it could be referred to as hair metal on YouTube. Zahn, our former coworker.
Yes.
And guys, again, we're at episode 600 here. Let's cut the talking just for a second and get into a little music. This is a new band called Sweet Creature, and this song is Not Like Others.
We sing an anthem for our broken dreams.
Broken dreams.
We raise our voices against the machine.
rising tide. See the floodgates open wide. We're the misfits, we're the wild.
Listen to our battle cry.
That was Sweet Creature, Not Like Others, featuring one of the members of Crash Diet. Good stuff there. Brand new music. Go support those guys. You can get a free download of that song on their site. Check them out. John, yeah, 600 episodes we're at. What do you think? What do we do at 666?
666.
66 episodes away.
Yeah, we have to have somebody from Iron Maiden on. Mm. Wouldn't that be a good thing?
Yeah, that would be
that's what we gotta do.
Cool goal. At one point, I thought we'd end this at 666.
Oh.
Just call it a day.
Wow. Wow. Well, I don't know. I'm not ready for that yet. Even though you're the one doing all the work. We even 665, we just wait for a while.
I think like you said, I think we should have a big blowout on 66 with number of guests, possibly including one of the members of Iron Maiden. Or we could just say, hey, it's been nice. That's it.
Good.
Or, I don't know. What are our other options?
Hey, quick thing before I forget, I know there was an album by Love and Rockets called Sweet FA. We're talking about I'm still back on the Sweet thing about five minutes ago. Wasn't there a band called Sweet FA?
Possibly. And then the Sweet. Didn't the band have a song called Sweet FM?
They might have.
Google that.
There's all kinds of stuff.
I'm almost positive they did because I can hear the lyrics in my head.
Sweet FA.
Yeah, 1974 song by the band Sweet. Very influential band on the whole heavy metal, especially the LA metal, hard rock scene. Very, very influential band. Great band.
Hey, speaking of influential people, Mike Lincoln, drummer of Captain Teen Astronomy, drummer of The Victims, drummer of miscellaneous bands, lots of bands, Electric Frankenstein. He has been.
He's also a friend of John and I's, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mike Lincoln's one of our best friends. And he, I want to tell you, is in the show Vinyl.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, have you watched Vinyl at all?
I tried. I just...
You didn't like it?
I did not like it.
Oh, man. See, I loved it. I thought it was great. And maybe you have to watch more episodes, but there's one of the later episodes where there's a character that's supposed to be John Lennon, and he's with somebody who was playing May Pang, and right behind him is Mike Lincoln, and he's in like a few different scenes. He has long, curly hair. He may have a hat on.
Oh, cool.
Any fans of Vinyl Go back to that episode and you will see Mike Lincoln, who has
Long-time
played
friend of yeah, John
with
Mize,
us.
Yeah.
And also in Like It. I'm currently playing with the group Like It. We have had only one gig, and that was for Jamie, lead singer and guitarist / bassist of Like It. He was recently married, and Like It. Yes. And Like It played at his wedding.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yep.
Jamie will probably only have two or three more of these in his lifetime. This is inside stuff. Everyone's lost. They don't know who we're talking about.
That's
Mike,
okay.
Mike and Jamie. But
guys,
anyways,
I hope you like this conversation between Mark and I.
Yeah.
Or no, Mark and me.
This is fun. I wanted it to be different than episode 500.
This is different. This is us just talking.
Good. Us just hanging, playing some tunes. Blasting the music so loud that our hearing is shot. My hearing is just crazy gone.
I can't hear it at all anymore. Yeah. People were laughing at me at work today because I said, somebody goes, even John heard that. There was like a sound.
Right.
I work in Times Square in a major skyscraper, and there were these guys like washing the windows. So it's always like a weird thing when you're 41 floors up and you see like a dude standing outside the window, on a little cart. By the way, down in lower Manhattan, some of these window washers were in an accident today, and they did not die, thankfully. But something happened to the scaffolding, and they had to be rescued. So that's a really really amazing job. You really have to have a lot of guts to do it. So anyway,
your coworkers all know you're deaf.
Yeah, they heard some sound, and then somebody made a comment. They said even John heard that, and then this one girl who was really nice started laughing. So I did not realize that everybody really knew how deaf I was, but I am.
Right on.
Yeah, when Ace really tells you you're deaf, you are really deaf because he's deaf. So I am even deafer than Ace.
Cool. Well, I want to talk to you about Ace, but first let's get into a little Motorhead right now. This is Deaf Forever.
Forever to the battle's den.
that was Death Forever by Motorhead, featuring one of the greatest heavy metal musicians ever, Lemmy.
Lemmy, a guy who never liked to be referred to as heavy metal. Do you know that? He always wanted to be known as a rock and roller.
Wow.
Which I get. You know?
Yeah, me too.
And in some ways, he was such an important pillar and iconic heavy metal figure without a question. But when you listen to that music, even though it's just deafening loud and distorted and heavy and metallic, at the same time, a lot of those Motorhead songs, they got a real kind of Chuck Berry, little Richard feel to them. You know, you feel that old school rock and roll influence on a lot of those Motorhead songs. And wow, Lemmy, truly missed. We've lost so many great rockers lately, from Glenn Frey to Prince to Bowie to Lemmy to Scott Weiland to who else?
Jimmy Bain.
Yes, yeah, so many. The list goes on and on. It's crazy times.
Yeah, when Jimmy Bain passed away, it was especially tough for me because I was just on a cruise. I was getting off a cruise right when this was happening, and I couldn't believe it. How weird, and how sad that was, because this cruise experience was so different for me. And to think that one of the musicians would pass away, and especially somebody that was a big part of my high school years, Dio. If somebody when I was in middle school or high school would say name your top five bass players, Jimmy Bain would have been one of them. So that was weird. And then the fact that I literally was getting off the boat in the car service when the driver told me about it, and at the time the facts weren't all in, and he said something involving the Def Leppard cruise, and it was crazy because we were all down in Florida at the time, so that was just so sad.
Yeah, absolutely tragic, and definitely a major loss, Jimmy Bain. We will miss his unique style of bass. I always think of those breakdowns he'd do, with Carmine Appice, like the boom, boom, where they hit
Vinny?
The drum. Yeah. Oh, or not Carmine. Yeah, I'm sorry. Vinny Appice, where they hit the drum and the bass together for those awesome breakdowns. And you know what's interesting? It is rumored that he possibly plays the bass on Rock You Like a Hurricane by Scorpions. Yeah, may have been brought in as a ghost session guy for that. And if that's the case, if you listen to the beginning of Rock You Like Hurricane, that boom, boom, that's a very Jimmy Bain thing to do. I should research that and see if it's true or not. I think it is true, actually. If he didn't end up on the final cut of the record, he definitely did work with the Scorpions in the studio on that record.
That is really cool.
Uncredited. Yeah.
Hey, remember when we went to Herman Rarebell's hotel room? Mm-hmm. That was so cool. I still have a set of drumsticks right behind me on the Eric Carr drum set signed by Herman Rarebell.
Yeah.
And he was really nice. Now, didn't he co-write that song?
He co-wrote that song. Yeah. He, I don't believe, was originally credited, and then later he received a credit. I think there's three songwriters on it, and he is one of them. And great guy. Recently, may actually currently be playing with Michael Schenker.
Wow.
Yeah, and what's cool about Michael Schenker's set is they play some Scorpion stuff, including Rock You Like a Hurricane, which of course is Michael was in the Scorpions, but he was not on that record
that
or song,
record.
But because Herman is playing with Michael now, they play that song in the set. This is just in. Bernie Sanders just now, 9:30, has won the West Virginia primary.
Wow. He's winning a bunch of stuff, yeah. Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. It's 2016 guys right now. Donald Trump just, is the presumptuous, what do they call it?
Presumptive nominee.
Yeah, and it looks like he'll be going up against Hillary Clinton, although Bernie Sanders continues to win. So who knows what's going on. But interesting times for politics, interesting times for rock. I'm drinking the AC/DC beer right now, as you know, and Axl Rose. If you would have told me fucking Axl Rose is going to be the singer of AC/DC on a temporary, possibly non-temporary basis, if you would have told me that like 6 months ago, I would have said, you're fucking crazy.
Out of your mind, right?
Yeah, but that's where we're at. Yeah, this is crazy. Crazy, and I wanted to say last week.
I love Axl, and I thought he sounded great on the stuff that I've seen online. I think he's just a really cool guy, and I'm blown away that we even had a chance to like be in the same room with him a few times. And how about the crazy thing when I helped him out at the MTV VMAs? Wasn't that insane?
That was so cool.
It
was great. Yeah. John was his chaperone or something. Right?
Yeah. I helped him. I was like his assistant who took him to different press opportunities after the show. And then I chatted with him a little bit during the show. So I forget what they called that. I was like his escort. Yeah. Something like that. Talent escort.
Right. Right. All right. It was, that was when the VMAs were at Radio City. I'm trying to think, what, 2017 or something?
No. Maybe 2007.
Yeah. I don't know.
Something like that.
So we're recording an episode right now, and I'm getting, somebody's calling me. It says new video message.
Oh, no.
I'm afraid to click on it.
I know.
Should I click on it?
I don't know. Like,
it doesn't say who it's from. I'm just.
Try it and see what happens.
All right, let me see. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, who was it?
It was like no one. No one was there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, that could have been something that I did earlier on because it said something. I hit call and it said the person is not available, and then right before you said I'll be here in 2 minutes, and then I said hey Mark or something like that, and maybe that was it. But
yeah,
but it's weird that it came in now. But anyway,
yeah.
So now
I'm hearing static, which is
oh no.
Hopefully we'll go away, but. Yeah, anyways, it's been a great ride here, and I just want to thank all the Talking Metal listeners. And one thing you can do is subscribe to this show on iTunes. Leave us a review on iTunes. That helps our profile. It's, again, just been great. You guys are using the Amazon links. I appreciate that. Go buy Don Jameson's book by using our Amazon links on talkingmetal.com. And and support what we're doing here. If you see John out at a show, make sure you say hello to him. What's the latest with Ace? He I know canceled the last show of the tour, right?
Yeah, we were in Wilkes-Barre, PA, and
he's feeling better now.
He's feeling great now, we cut the show short by two songs, the encores. And we took Case just as a precaution to the hospital, and they checked him out, and he stayed there two nights, and turns out he's great. But the issue was that he was exhausted and dehydrated, and I was like not far behind him in that one too.
Right.
And we had a lot of stuff going on. We did a bunch of press in New York. Then we started the tour. Then we flew to LA on a day off and back to Atlanta on the same day to do the fire and water video.
The video. Yeah, that's what I was going
to say. Yeah. So we were touring in Florida and then shot out to LA and then back to Atlanta all in one day. So it was freaking crazy. And then we continued to tour, and then there were interviews. There was an in-store in Wilkes-Barre, and the tour was great. But we all worked really, really hard, and unfortunately, Ace, got dehydrated, and he was just physically exhausted. Everything is great now.
Good.
And we rescheduled that Poughkeepsie show for September 30th.
Yeah. Emily and I are talking about doing like an overnight driving up there.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Because I know you and I went up there to meet Mitch LaFon at the 4x Fate show, which is when you actually reconnected with Richie Scarlett at that show because he had opened the show for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was just, I don't know if you remember, but it just took forever to get back home. So I think it would be fun to maybe just
stay
go up there
night.
And do some drinking after the show. And, right. and you know, I'm talking about Emily and me, not you and Ace, you know, and, you know, and just be able to, not worry about driving all the way back, like a 2.5 hour drive, 2 hour drive.
Yeah. In the middle of the night. Yeah. yeah. So. I always like to make, everything a 2 day event. it's really true. Like, even after the shows, you know, after any show, if I go to a show, I want to stay overnight. Like when I went to see Kiss in Philly, I stayed overnight. I just think it's fun to make like a whole night of it. Hey, heck, even when we play gigs, like in our own area, I always get a hotel room. So I've stayed in a bunch of places in Clifton every time we play Dingbats. And even though Clifton's like, you know, 15 minutes away or something like that. But I just like, I like staying
the
in
whole
hotels.
Experience. Yeah. 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 It'd be fun to see Ace, you know, is it just one, is he just doing this one show or will he add on some other shows?
There's a good chance it's not announced yet, but there's a good chance that we're going to do some additional stuff yet. Everything is being worked on right now. Yep.
Cool. Yeah. It will be great to see Ace again. And what else was I going to ask you? Oh, so you had this exclusive seat at the, because you were working at the video shoot, which is just really blown up. Paul Stanley, Ace Frehley reuniting. And I thought the beginning was just so cool how they kind of walk up to each other on the street and exchange pleasantries like no time has passed at all. And especially when, with all the negativity we've seen in the press, it's just as a fan. So great to see that. And, you know, I know that you work for Ace and you need to be professional with what you say about him, but can you tell me, was the pleasantries between them real in person, or was it kind of just like, oh, I'm here, let's shoot it and get out of here, you know? Or did they really seem to, when the cameras weren't rolling, connect personally?
They really did connect. They absolutely connected, and it was really great. I mean, during a video shoot, there's a lot of time where, you know, there's a lot of downtime, as you know, and everybody was just hanging out and talking and reminiscing about stuff, and it was great. It was just a great experience, and everybody had a great time. And Paul was great. Some of the people that worked with Paul were there, and they were great. And really, there's a great guy named Fran, who is Paul's guitar tech, who we hung out and talked guitars and a lot of cool stuff. Even some stuff I want to pass on to you, some cool products to use. And
cool.
You know, here a cool thing. I loaded the smoking guitar for the first time myself, and that was like a really cool thing. And then I had to reload it, and there was a different part that I had to work with, and I was having a little trouble with it, and Fran helped me with it. So that was really cool. And he had never, you know, he hadn't worked with, you know, he worked with Paul's guitars, but he had never worked with like, you know, a smoking guitar. And yet he was able to help me figure it out. And thanks to Fran, we got it going. And it was really cool. Nice. Because I'm not normally.
It's a great video. It's fun. Yeah, really fun to watch. I liked seeing Ace's band in there with him. You know, Chris Wise and what's the drummer's name again?
Scotty Coogan.
Yeah, Scotty. Yeah, so it was cool to see those guys. And Scotty does some singing on the new record, right?
Right. Yeah. Scotty sings on "Bring It On Home."
Yeah,
he has up one tune.
Yeah,
and he has a great voice. He's really, really good. But
yeah. Well, it was cool for Ace to include those guys on the tracks, I thought. And the record is a lot of fun. Origins, right?
Origins, yes. And you know what's really funny is that when we're trying to come up with the name of the record, and I hadn't thought of that. And, you know, after the fact, I should have been the one to think of it, because every morning when I go to the New York Waterway app, which is I take a boat to work, guys, believe it or not. The first thing it asks you when you want to buy a ticket, it says origin.
Right.
And it says origin and destination. And it's just funny that that's the word that it picks. And then, you know, one of the other reasons I think it's cool is, I mean, A, it fits. And B, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Originals. And, right. I thought of that also after the fact. I'm not the one that came up with the title, but I think it's a great title. Ace always, you know, he's good at words and lyrics, and he always comes up with cool stuff.
Can we hit like a sound sample of one of these songs?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? One of the songs that I think is amazing, and I just always thought it was an amazing song to begin with, but I really, really like this version, is Parasite featuring John 5.
Let's do it. Heard was Parasite with John 5 on guitar and Ace on vocals, which, you know, the old Kiss version of that was Gene on vocals, right?
Correct, right.
Yeah, so it's fun to hear him sing it.
Yeah, that was the cool thing. And the same thing with Cold Gin is these were songs that usually in Kiss, if you wrote the song, you sang it. But in the first couple of records, Ace didn't sing the songs that he wrote. So this is Ace's chance to, on a studio recording, sing those songs, because there may have been some live stuff where you would hear Ace doing that stuff, but never in the studio. So
and really very, more very than cool. The first couple of records, right? Because it wasn't until
Love Gun
really that he started singing Shocker, right? First song,
right? Exactly. 1977.
Yeah, good stuff. Anyways, thanks for the little inside peek there at the Paul and Ace reunion. Good stuff on the video set there.
Maybe we can post that photo of me, Paul, and Ace.
Let's do it. We'll have it up in today's show notes, guys, on talkingmetal.com. You can go visit our site. You can listen to our podcast, Talking Metal. We have Mitch LaFon's podcast up there. metal wraps. I'm trying to think what else is up there. I guess that's it. And yeah, we always have fun on talkingmetal.com with the pictures and stuff. So we will have a picture of John, Ace, and Paul up in the show notes on today's episode. And also, while you're there, use our Amazon links to link over to Amazon to make all your purchases. And you can make a PayPal donation if you'd like and buy a t-shirt in the merch section. Anything you can do to support us, we appreciate it. So, John, what's up next for you? Are you just laying low at home for now? I mean, you're never laying low. You're always out doing stuff. But is the A stuff on a slight break now for you? Or is it just ongoing constantly?
It's always ongoing. Literally, there's more press stuff that's going to happen and, you know, meetings and who knows, tons of stuff going on. And so it's like constant, all ace all the time.
Right.
But it's cool. It's like well,
You hold down a full-time job on top of that at Nickelodeon. Yeah, so
absolutely.
Crazy,
I know. It's a little crazy, but... it's fun and it's cool and it's challenging. Hey guys, it really is challenging to go on tour with anybody and to tour manage. Because when I first started going on tour, I wasn't the tour manager. I just was Ace's assistant. And now I'm taking on another role. Being Ace's assistant is a great gig, just as it you know, on its own. But tour managing is really challenging, and it's a fun thing, and you get to really learn a lot. And you know, everybody occasionally, like jokingly, makes fun of me and calls me Ian Faith. And sometimes they make little funny videos that I go like, "There's no sex and drugs for John," you know, right, and stuff like that. Yeah, and of course, there's no drugs and
Spinal
you know,
Tap reference.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
great interview recently with Rob Reiner on Howard Stern. If you haven't
cool.
heard it, maybe you can find it on YouTube or something. Great stuff. And didn't talk a lot about Spinal Tap, but a little bit, you know, and some just what a great movie that was. And what else was I going to mention to you? Oh, so I guess we started talking, or maybe we didn't. I can't remember if it was during the show or before the show. We were talking about hanging out last week. We were going to record this 600th episode in Jersey City, back where John lives, not in the same apartment, but you still live in Jersey City as you did
Correct.
When you started this apartment. It was at a club one block away from my old apartment back in Jersey City, one of the other founding locations of Talking Metal.
And
we were one block away watching Frank Ferrer of Guns N' Roses play with his cover project, I guess I call it, here in the New York area. This was in Jersey City, and the band was called Mule Kick, with our friend Rob Bailey on guitar, again Frank Ferrer of Guns N' Roses on drums. And we were going to record the 600th episode that night, but we were just having so much fun listening to these guys jam songs and hanging out. You were with your girlfriend, and Rob Bailey's wife was there, and all sorts of people just hanging out, having a blast, that we never got around to recording the episode. But I did want to give the whole thing a plug, John. And Mule Kick is, again, our friend Rob Bailey, who's just an incredible guitar player who we've known since the late 1980s, and Frank Ferrer of Guns N' Roses, and you know, Honky Toast and Pisser, and he plays with Psychedelic Furs, and just such an incredible drummer. I had just seen him in Vegas play to like 20 some thousand people, and then I'm back in Jersey City watching him play to like 30 or 40 people in a small club with John last week.
It was amazing.
That club was called, what was that club called?
Transmission.
Yeah. Okay. So you know the owner of Transmission.
Yes.
And it's in Jersey City. It's on Bay Street. If you're there, go check it out. Mule Kick is the band with Frank Ferrer and Rob Bailey, and they play covers and have guest stars come up and jam with them, and it's just a lot of fun. So you can find Mule Kick on Facebook, and if you're in Jersey City, go to Bay Street and you will find the club Transmission. It's a nice club.
Yeah, it's a really nice club. It's in a really cool area, and like I said, it's a block away from Mark's old place, which was also very cool, and it's not too far away from my apartment. And it's really a great thing to see live music in Jersey City again, and especially with people who we love as much as Mule Kick, featuring Rob Bailey and Frank Ferrer and a bunch of other cool people.
Yeah. And that'll do it for tonight. Thanks for listening to two friends, Mark and John, just ramble. And, you know, we used to do a lot more podcasts like this, and it's fun to catch up with you and the listeners and just kind of shoot the shit, if you will. So I'm glad we did that. And we'll do something big. 666, I think, will be an interesting episode. We'll do something big for that. And in the meantime, we'll have a lot more guests coming your way. Hoping to have some members of Whitesnake on the show soon. I'm going to be checking them out in New Jersey. If you and Lynn aren't doing anything, you should come down and join Emily and I at the Whitesnake show in Montclair, New Jersey.
That would be great. When is that? When is it?
It's like June 21st or 22nd. It's sometime like around there in June.
Maybe we will come down because I just met Joe Hoekstra for the first time, and I received a message that he was interested in coming to one of the Ace shows, and I called him up, and he came down, and we met, and we, you know, got introduced to each other, and yeah, he's super cool, and that's cool. And by the way, speaking of Whitesnake and speaking of cool guitar players, Doug Aldrich, when I interviewed him for Talking Metal, he had the first iPhone that I've ever seen, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And he took a selfie. So it was me and Doug, and Doug was holding the phone. So if you go back to the Talking Metal archives and look up a picture of us, Doug took that. So that was my first experience with an iPhone and first experience with a selfie.
Yeah, a lot of great shows coming up. Going up to the Rock Derby in Albany, New York, John, with Ghost, Anthrax.
Oh, wow. Lamb when is God. That?
That's coming up soon. It's like a week and a half away. I'll be up there for the entire weekend.
Wow.
It's going to be great. Hailstorm. So many great bands are playing that weekend. Megadeth.
Is Mitch going to that too?
He's not. He was supposed to come down and meet me. I got full access for he and I, and he's bailing. So if you're around, dude, seriously consider coming up. I can totally hook you up.
Maybe I will do it.
Press tent passes and be a lot of interview opportunities. Keep it in mind. Yeah. And who else? I got Glenn Hughes coming up in September. Nice. Checking him out. You should come down to that. It's at BB King's.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see Glenn again. He is amazing. And, yeah, you know what, Mark? I got to get back on track again, going to shows and, you know, shows that I'm not working at.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be fun.
Checking Sticks out, too, in Newark. That'll be fun. Anyways, a lot of good stuff. Sticks. Sabbath coming up. Weezer, I'm going to see, one of my favorite groups.
Well, where's Sabbath at?
Sabbath, I'm going to see them at PNC.
Wow.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, that's making sure that Ozzy has been found.
No. Yeah, no, he's found. He's
found. I know he's found.
Yeah,
I'm
just the news broke over the last day or two that he and Sharon are having troubles. And then there was a rumor that he was missing, which I'm not even sure was actually true, but he is now found. So if he ever was missing.
Yeah, he may not have been missing, but he is found.
Yeah, that was in that. You know where that started? Page Six, which is in the Post, which isn't the most reliable source. What is reliable all the time is TMZ. They're so.
That's my favorite website.
They're so spot on with this stuff.
No, my favorite sites are, of course, all the metal sites, but my favorite non-metal site is TMZ.com.
Right on. I'm there at least once a day, sometimes twice a day. So.
Me too.
All right, guys.
Hey, Mark, I have a request, and I was hoping that we could play the song Cold Metal by Iggy Pop.
Sure, why not? Love Iggy Pop. My wife just saw him in New York with Josh from Queens of the Stone Age playing.
Wow.
Yeah, good stuff.
Where did he play it? Man, I wish I would have
some
seen
some weird place. You'd have to ask her, but it was like up in Harlem. It was north of the... Maybe even north of Harlem. It was like by the GW Bridge.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's cool.
Yeah. Club up there. So good stuff. But yeah, Cold Metal. Let's check it out right here. And who's the guy again? What's his name?
Seamus Began. I don't know if
what
is
he
pronounced
playing? He's Began. On drums?
He's on keyboards and possibly guitar. But Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols is on guitar. I think Seamus Began, I think, was on keyboards on the record and then has done some live guitar playing. But the guy that I think played the guitar, well, 99.9% sure that Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols played guitar on it, and then he was in the video. And then there's a great clip that you can look up, and it's Iggy Pop on David Letterman. If you just Google Iggy Pop, David Letterman, you will see Steve Jones on guitar, Iggy Pop, Seamus Began on keyboards, along with Will Lee and Paul Schaefer and nice. Sid McGuinness and Anton, the great Anton Figg. Right.
So basically the Letterman band mixed with Iggy, Seamus, and Steve Jones of
correct.
Sex Pistols fame.
Yes.
Good stuff. Yeah, let's check it out here. Cold Metal by Iggy Pop. We'll catch you next time. And John, yeah, don't be a stranger. Let's get you back on as many shows as you can manage.
Absolutely.
I'd love to get you involved with some interviews again. We've done
some
great
interviews.
Yeah,
I know. I got to do some
the great
new interviews.
Paul Gilbert, which... Guys, if you listen to the Paul Gilbert interview, thank you. It got zero press. No one picked it up. Blabbermouth did not pick it up. Brave Words did not pick it up. And it's just getting insane amount of plays. I'm a little, I don't know, confused as to why and how it is getting so many plays. But
that is cool.
Yeah, it's one of our biggest episodes of the last few months. Paul Gilbert on Talking Metal. Episode 599. So check that out if you haven't heard it. And yeah, here's Iggy Pop. Mark and John checking out.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.